This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Create Your Dream Business Now Academy, a one-of-a-kind live event where Jim will personally teach you how to market and grow a more profitable business faster, even in a crappy economy. During this event, Jim will reveal how to create a million-dollar platform on a shoestring budget. You'll learn how to generate a ton of content with ease, how to attract a steady stream of new customers, and you'll also network with other successful marketers and entrepreneurs. This not-to-be-missed event is May the 7th through the 9th in San Diego and will quite literally transform your business. Do not miss it. Get all the details and register today at www.dreambizacademy.com. That's www.dreambizacademy.com.
Hey friends, this is James Malinchak, feature on ABC's hit TV show Secret Millionaire and founder of BigMoneySpeaker.com, and you are listening to my good friend Jim Palmer on Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Those are all great things in any business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I am so excited about this week's show because my special guest is someone that I've been that's been helping me grow my business for several, I say several, probably 7 years now. And I call Gary George one of my secret weapons because he truly does some amazing things for my business with his company, Blazin Multimedia. Let me tell you a little bit about Gary. He is the founder and creative genius behind Blazin Multimedia, which is a full-service, interactive, and strategic design firm. Blazin Multimedia helps companies increase revenues and profits and expand their market share with creative and technical solutions, including web and mobile apps, which we will talk about with Gary today. And he is, again, on my team for probably 6 years now, maybe almost seven, actually, and he's created my Biz app, which is very cool. You got to make sure you check that out. Gary has worked with some major stars and celebrities in the music industry. I know you're going to love this interview, so let me bring on Mr. Gary George. Gary, thank you so much for coming back for yet another interview on Stick Like Glue Radio. How you doing, my friend?
Thank you so much, Jim. Wouldn't miss it for the world. Can't wait to jump right into it here today.
Yeah, so, you know, I think I'm not sure if you're the guest who's been on the most, but you're right up there near the top. And so what I've been doing is interviewing a lot of the people who are going to be on the faculty for my next Dream Business Academy in San Diego. And, you know, when you first spoke at my event in Las Vegas, man, I mean, you got a standing ovation bigger than the one I got. And so I wasn't happy about that. But you delivered enough great value. I had you back in Philly. And, again, you really knocked it out of the park. So I think you actually got a permanent spot on my stage. But one of the things I always tell people about you is when you first started with me about, what, 6-7 years ago, I think my list was under 4,000. It's almost 20,000 small business owners now, and we've grown that both, you know, kind of organically, generically, but also with pay-per-click and a lot of things that you've done for me. And in the last couple of years, you've built an incredible app for me that's available on both for iPhone and Android, my smart marketing app. And I was actually in the App Store the other day. I'm not sure I told you this, but I was searching out to see who else is doing marketing apps, and there's a bunch of people in that area or arena now, but mine is still up there, and I actually haven't even been on there recently, but there's a ton of great reviews, which really made me smile, and so I want to thank you for that. And if we have time in this interview, I want to get to you a little bit about BizApps, but I really want to talk a lot about what's going on with social media, pay-per-click, but I want to zero in on Facebook ads specifically. As we're recording this, somewhere around 3 weeks ago, Facebook threw a bomb or a grenade into their computer, and all of a sudden, you know, a lot of the ads you were doing for me became a whole lot less effective. So What's going on with Facebook these days?
Oh, Facebook is it's still the king of kings when it comes to precise pinpoint targeting. Facebook will, you know, make changes to their system periodically. They did a bunch to make it easier for us advertisers to do some things, and they did enhance a lot of things that has been driving us crazy. But at the same time, just like development work that I'm accustomed to doing, you fix one thing, you break 10 others, and they got to go back and fix them one by one. So we were talking with our Facebook ad reps, and sure enough, we saw those dips in conversion ratios across the board. We knew it was something on their end, but they've since put some things in place, and we're starting to get things cranking, especially for the holidays.
What kind of things are, I mean, do you think, you know, the changes they do to their logarithms and things, is that stuff we just got to see what settles out? Or I know one of the things you're so good at with your business is finding ways to work around whatever gets thrown up in front of you.
Absolutely. That's the key to this whole industry. You can never be complacent. You always got to be ready to make some changes on the fly to whatever you're doing, because what you're going to do today may very well change tomorrow, and you always have to just think creatively about how to get around those things. So I've been doing the same and being fortunate enough to manage, you know, several accounts, client accounts. I get to compare results amongst different types of campaigns. So it quickly gives us a red flag when anything goes awry or we see things adjusting, and then we can experiment across the board. So it's a really great thing.
What's going on with you've also been doing some work. I'll probably jump around a little bit. I want to come back to Facebook. You know, actually, let me stay on Facebook for a minute. Gary, one of the things you started doing for me a year or so ago was this whole thing with retargeting. I know probably mm-hmm. people are familiar with the term retargeting, but one of the things where we were getting so much good results with was the type of retargeting you were doing as far as running different ads to different people depending on things they did, whether they opted in and didn't do anything, whether they watched a video or whatever. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When it comes to remarketing, and we've been getting extremely sophisticated in the setups that we're using nowadays to target people according to your behavior and actions that you take. So most people just retarget a person that comes to their site and disappears, doesn't take the main action. I mean, that is the main, premise of retargeting. But there's a ton of other hidden gems that, again, we've been experimenting with to see what's really working. But even those people who opt in, we've been doing that now, retargeting the people who opt in. Before, we kind of left them alone and said, well, our goal is just to get people to opt in. Let's just retarget them. But now, nope, we're cooking the people who actually opt in. I'm sending them a different message because they're a motivated individual. They've raised their hand now, so we should absolutely be all over them. So stuff like that, you know, initially and how they kind of tell you how to do retargeting and that kind of thing, it'll get you the basics. But when it comes to exploring some really next-level stuff, you got to really start thinking creatively. And that's the kind of things that we've been doing and getting some great results.
So as an example, I know you were telling me, because I actually don't even know everything you're doing, but you were telling me on one of our kind of follow-up calls, you said if people visit and opt in, they get a series of messages. If they watch the video or do something but don't take action, they get another ad, which might have, like, different language, like more like language and a picture more like get into action instead of, hey, have you seen this type thing, right? So that's what you mean by shooting different ads to different people.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yep, and we get real sophisticated. Well, that's what we call our behavioral retargeting strategy, and we're doing it based off of a number of things, and we use the things that are going to tell us which person is most engaged with the brand or whatever we're selling or whatever. But that is for them who are there's three metrics that we're really looking at, and that's how long you stay on the page, what you click on the page, if you click a buy button but you don't complete the process or check out of the shopping cart. You know, all of those are different signals to let us know that this person is in a different frame of thought, and if we can produce another touch with them using a banner ad that's speaking more closely to their reservations, whatever stopped them from completing the purchase, you know, that's the kind of things that we're doing, and really getting aggressive with those different messages within the banner ad. Take some work, and that's the reason why most of the business owners aren't doing it, but whatever people aren't doing, because it's a lot of work, that means there's a lot of money for us who are willing to go that extra mile.
Isn't that funny? I mean, you know, first of all, what you said is pretty cool, but the last thing you said, I think, is really speaks to mindset. And we're talking social media, Facebook, and things like that, but what you said is the people who are willing to do the work are the people who are having success. Isn't that – it's always like that in business, isn't it?
Exactly. Absolutely. It said if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, and that is exactly what – it boils down to. It's got the stuff that's hard. We like it. We know that it's just a barrier to entry for the Joe Schmoes out there who are just going to do the bare minimum and flap it up and, you know, put a blindfold on and hope for the best. But we're not doing that at all. We're looking at every element. We're measuring every single penny. We know what everything's working, how it's not working, and we're constantly experimenting, even with the things that are working. We don't just leave the working things sitting and say, wow, that's great, we got it going. No, we're trying to beat it. You know, once I got something that's really pumping it, I'll say I want another percentage point increase on my conversion ratio. I want to try to see what we can do better, and that's what really makes you stand out from your competitors.
Now, as far as the type of ads and things like that, for people who are perhaps new to Facebook marketing and don't have the, you know, wherewithal right now to engage like Blaze in multimedia, if they wanted to try it themselves, does Facebook offer like tutorials how to get started? I mean, I think I remember way back when, before you started doing it for me, Facebook would say, hey, do you want to turn this post into an ad? You know, I think that's not really effective, is it? Or, I mean, if you're going to do some Facebook ads, you should really, like, create some well-thought-out images and headlines.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all of the platforms, Google included, will entice those who don't understand to try to get into the game as quick and easy as possible. But remember, their game is to make as much money as they can off of you. So they're always going to say, yeah, do this, do that. It's so easy. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of additional things that you really have to dig into in order for you to be as profitable, unless you just have some product that no one has in the world and you happen to be that lucky. But there's not many of us like that. So we're always looking for, you know, strategies and ways to take it to the next level. But when it comes to, you know, individuals trying to run their ads, you were talking about Facebook enticing people to boost their posts. That was another thing that all of us marketers learned very quickly. That doesn't work. They would say it would be a little button that says boost your posts underneath every one of your posts that you would put out there. And we all started using it, and we saw that we were getting terrible results. But there was another way to do the same thing in the ads editor that actually got us more positive results. So everyone started to use it that way. So those are little tricks of the trade that, of course, Facebook's not going to tell you because they just want to try to get as much as they can out of you. But if you take time, you read, you know, dig in a bit, do some experimentation, you can get some success even on your own.
So are there any other social media platforms other than Facebook where you can do similar advertising? I don't think you can do that on LinkedIn right now. Where else can you do what you're doing on Facebook? Are there other platforms available or not?
Yeah, well, the one who's stepping up to the plate now is Twitter. Twitter is actually starting to roll out some aggressive advertising methods that you can utilize. One of the ones that I really like, well, we just spoke about it, but now you can retarget on Twitter. That was a huge thing for us marketers to say, wow, now we can actually, you know, find and get to our people who have engaged with us in some form of fashion, and now I can get them in another channel on Twitter as well. So if I drive you from a Facebook ad, you come to my page, you don't take the action that I want you to take, and then you go on Twitter and you do something else, I can get back in front of you again and say, hey, blah, 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 you know, and give you an aggressive ad to push you to take an additional action that I want to say, well, what was your reservation? What are you scared of? What's the problem? Is the price? You know, I can have a further conversation with you across channels. So I think that's a really great thing. I think Twitter's going to also start to do a lot of what we're seeing Facebook doing. They have adopted custom audiences, which is a huge, huge piece of functionality in Facebook ads. And for people who don't know what that is, custom audiences allow you to upload a list of your customers' phone numbers or email addresses, and Facebook will go out, find all of those individuals, put them in a group for you, and allow you to run the ads that just are targeted or shown to those individuals. Twitter's doing the same thing now, so we're going to start to see this arena really start to heat up.
Wow, I had no idea. How does that work with Twitter? In the news feed, it's actually showing ads, or is it links to ads, or how's that working?
Yeah, they'll when you're in Twitter, when you're on Twitter, sometimes you'll see these sponsored tweets, and they also have something called V cards, and the V cards are the ability for you to click one button and say that you want to opt in for something, and then we can get your email address. So it's a really cool way. And even a better strategy than a traditional opt-in, because now they can just click one button and Twitter is going to send you their email that they have within their profile. So it's, you know, people, especially on the mobile phones for typing and that kind of thing, when we have to put in email addresses, sometimes it could get a little difficult and restrictive for people. But in Twitter now they're putting that capability for one-click opt-ins. Really good stuff. A lot of good stuff heating up over there.
Wow, that's awesome! I had no idea. We got to talk about that. yeah, man. Hey, let's talk about the business app that you created for me, the Smart Marketing app. Give us a little bit of history. Tell the folks like what it is and what it's doing for me.
Oh
why
yeah, that was
one.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite things in the world. I'm so enthusiastic and motivated about these mobile apps because I feel as if it's the beginning of pay-per-click, just like when that first started. I was there when it was GoTo back then before Google purchased them and started pay-per-click, and we were getting 1 cent clicks like crazy, and we were telling all our clients, come on, it's time to jump on this wave. And everyone was saying, no, wait a minute, my yellow pages, I'm going to keep spending over there. And then they came back 5 years later ready to go, and those 1 cent clicks turned into $23 and $24 a click. It was an eye-opener for everyone to say when the wave is here, it's time to jump. But that's what's happening with the mobile apps, particularly what we did for you, Jim, which I really, really love, is ability to put together an app that, you know, pushes. It becomes a content marketing machine, and that's where marketing has really graduated to. It's now about educating your clients as much as possible, and we've all known this as business owners for many, many years. It just wasn't really a more of an effective way of doing it. But now, the more you educate them, the better and the better results you're going to have. The less selling you have to do, the better qualified the clients that come to the plate. But that's what the mobile app is all about that we developed for you. It's all about content marketing strategy. We got all those great videos that you have, Jim. You got tons of content in there. People are loving them, just like you said. That we get positive reviews, you know, almost every other week. Every week that someone plugs in and says, "Wow, this is so good that I have everything consolidated." Your podcasts are in there. Blog poster in there, just about everything you can think of in terms of educating your client. But the real value of these mobile apps that I'll tell for everyone who doesn't understand why a mobile app is so important right now and why I'm saying this is the beginning of what I feel is the next pay-per-click wave is the fact that when a person downloads your app, you have inherited one of the greatest powers of all time from a marketing perspective, and that is the ability to send that person what's called the push notification. And the push notifications, for those who don't know as well, they're just like a text message. They ring your phone, they buzz your phone, they do everything else like that. You probably have seen that happen a lot if you shop on eBay and Amazon. They'll send you push notifications when auctions are about to be up or someone reposts things. But this is what you can do. People don't even have to open your app. They just download it, put it on their phone, and now I've inherited the ability to send them a push notification. Now, why people say, well, what's so great about that? You know, text messaging, it seems, sounds like the same thing. But I'll tell you this, they just did a study on it, and they said 97% of all people open and read their text messages within the first 60 seconds of receipt. Now, tell me anybody, any marketer on the planet that could say and boast that they have anywhere near 97. Give me any marketer say they even have half of that. Who says they could boast they got a 50% open rate on email marketing? None of us have that, and that's 97%. That's ridiculous that you can get somebody to look at your message within 60 seconds, guaranteed. That's the one reason alone I say everyone needs to have an app.
That is so cool. You know, When I was telling you before we jumped on the call live that over this past weekend I was just fooling around in the app store, seeing what else is out there, who else is doing apps now. Because when I launched, you know, a year and a half ago, I was pretty much owning that whole market. Well, there's some other marketing style apps, but you know, when you go to these apps, there's the links for details, reviews, and related. And I clicked on reviews, and I got to tell you, I don't know if it's something every entrepreneur does, but I kind of held my breath and said, oh, boy, let me see what's under here. And I had some amazing stuff, like underestimated this app. I've definitely underestimated this app. Tons of content, downloadable stuff, great business advice, Jim's the real deal. Another one, I've saved countless hours of unproductive time with this app. Great advice, great info to share. Jim and his guests, business experts, are awesome. That all that, I'm like, wow, this is great, this is great, this is great. So when people see that, that makes them, because I think we're up over 8,000 downloads now, which is, I never would have actually guessed that, but I mean, that's a pretty big number.
Yeah.
So the push notifications is good. How else can people benefit from an app? I mean, from positioning, it's probably a good thing too, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. From positioning, I mean, this is going to separate you because it's a perception thing. It's a huge perception booster when you have an app versus your competitor who just has some basic whatever they have, right? So that's another thing. But the really another great piece of the puzzle was, when I got the light bulb to create forced registration within the app. So when we first put out your app, Jim, you remember when everyone could download the app and they could, you know, pop the app open, start to consume the content and all that good stuff. We had pages on there where they could get a free download, free ebook or something like that for some marketing strategies, and people would opt in, and you know, we were getting a good amount of opt-ins that way. But then a light bulb went off in my head, and I said, wait a minute, we should force people to register to access the content. Let's see if we can force them to do this before they get to the content, and is this going to kill our conversion? So that was when I had that call to you, Jim, and I said, Jim, you know what? I'm going to try something. I had a dream last night. I want to do this, but I think it might kill our conversions, but just hold tight and let's test it. And sure enough, you were – as you always are, you always say, come on, man, let's go ahead, let's do it, let's make it happen. So we did it, tested it, and sure enough, when I did that, I mean, we had a 6,000% increase in the number of opt-ins on a daily basis. I thought people were going to be a little gun-shy about putting their name and email, but we only collected two fields, and sure enough, no one. It did not affect our conversions at all. People can remain and gave that up in a blink of an eye. And so now, not only do you have an app that's out there producing and getting people familiar with your brand, but you're also using it as an email list builder that works for you while you sleep for nothing. This is the great reason why I'm telling everybody, too. You should be on an app because, I mean, just the average person, when you come to us and Blaze Multimedia, we set up a campaign for you and we're doing online marketing for you, the cheapest you're going to ever get an opt-in for a anything you do really right now in this day and age is about $2 to $3. That's the absolute cheapest. I mean, absolute. The average is probably $4 to $5. So you think about this. When we positioned your app and we did SEO, what we call App Store SEO, because the App Store is the third largest search engine on the planet right now. People are going in there and searching for stuff the same way they do on Google, the same way they do on YouTube. They're doing it in the App Store. So we figured out the algorithms over there, and we started to make your app rank for all these keywords that people would, we knew they would search for. And that was a big eye-opener for me as well when I realized that keywords, super competitive keywords that get tons of monthly traffic on Google and stuff like that that we're using to say, I know people are searching for this and that. I mean, words that would have taken us 10 to 12 months to rank for, we were ranking your app in 10 to 12 days. It was incredible. And that app still ranks there, and we're doing very little to maintain its position in ranking, but you're getting tons of opt-ins on a daily basis for almost literally free because we did it once, it's done, it's still sitting there, and now you're building your email list on autopilot. It's a really, really great thing.
So I got to ask you a question. I'm almost hesitating to ask it because if it is something, I don't want to share it right now, but for my own curiosity, is there any way to boost or promote or do ads or any way accentuate what you're offering in the App Store to make sure you show up first or to promote yourself? Or are there any kind of things you could do like that, like even of a paid nature? Or?
You mean if, other people, or are you asking me, like, what we could do for yours? For yours?
Well, of course I'm asking you for me. we're sharing the information with everybody that's listening to Stick Like Glue Radio and my Interview the Experts coaching call here. But if somebody wanted to, like, if I wanted to, when people are searching marketing or smart marketing, small business marketing, whatever we're ranking for, is there any way to boost that other than just, you know, SEOing your app?
Yep, that's the only way. That is the only way. The only other way that you're going to get boosting ranks is downloads. The more downloads you receive, that is a big part of the Apple App Store ranking algorithm. So I will share that one thing. A lot of the other stuff is kind of proprietary information that I couldn't really share, but I will give you that one big piece. Anyone who has an app out there, you want to increase your rankings, get more downloads. You're absolutely going to get preference over some of those other apps who are sitting there stagnated.
Okay. You know, Gary, there's a lot of people who are in the space right now of either just starting out. You know, I've worked with a lot of people since my book came out, Stop Waiting For It to Get Easier, and they're very new, or they've been an entrepreneur for a year or two, and they have a small list, and they're trying to build their list. Let's talk about some list-building strategies, pay-per-click, you know, how can they rank organically? What would you tell people if they said, I need to build my list? What are the top three or four things they should do?
Well, the number one thing to do is paid traffic. Definitely, hands down, going to get you the fastest results, and it's going to get you the biggest volume and the most scalable type of solution if you're really going and looking to get serious about building a great email list. So paid traffic, that is the bread and butter of what we do when it comes to building email lists, whether it's pay-per-click using Google AdWords or Bing or Yahoo, or whether it is display advertising or Facebook ads, whether we're using that platform to drive traffic and to build an email list. Those are all methods and mechanisms that we do. We also use SEO. We also use social media. For a lot of people who don't have a lot of cash, you can throttle. You don't have to spend, you know, $5,000 a day on a paid advertising campaign. You can set your daily limit, so you don't have to be scared. You can go in and just set it for $5 if you want. Set your thing for $5, $10 a day and start to get some opt-ins into your list and start to optimize what you're doing. You can grow that thing gradually yourself till you can get yourself to a point where you can afford to hire someone like, you know, myself to really come in and throttle up and put a magnifying glass on what you're doing. But that is really some of the key ways that we are really building lists nowadays, besides the mobile apps, which I just explained is really killer.
Are people I know email marketing is getting tougher all the time with, you know, filters and things like that. What you have to offer people in terms of, you know, the opt-in box, things like that, is that getting harder too? Do you have to keep giving more and more stuff, or coming up with one or two things which are, like, really targeted to what people are searching for? You know, what have you found in the way of what people need to give in exchange for an email?
Yep, that's a good question. Definitely, and in today's world, because people are getting exposed to more of us hardcore marketers, they're starting to get kind of accustomed to certain things. And it does require you to do things a little differently and outside of the box sometimes if you're going after a target demographic that has been inundated with those same styled approaches. So you have to gauge what you're doing, and a lot of times there's no real rhyme or reason or way of telling this other than looking at your conversion ratios and seeing that they're not where you want them to be, and then you start to test and manipulate all the different elements that make up the entire flow of what happens when a person comes to your site and opts in. So that means I may have to look at my banner ads. I might have to look at the copy that I'm using. I may have to change and experiment with some of those. I may have to change the color of the banners. I mean, we've done stuff as simple as that where literally we've changed colors of buttons of our button, red, green, orange, and seen tremendous swings in the number of opt-ins and our conversion ratios. So those are some of the things that you absolutely have to look at. Your landing page, a huge, huge part of the equation. If your landing page is optimized and it's really targeted and your copy is great and everything else is on point, you will get a much, much more opt-ins than you will when you don't have that. So that's another piece of the puzzle as well. So there's a lot of things that you got to look at and test, but once you have that formula, you can really go to town. Now, in terms of offers, again, yeah, the offer is one of the biggest pullers. You got to have something good to pull people in. But as long as you give great content, great information, like Jim, you always have a ton of great information that we can pull from. And I just look at certain things and say, oh, this would be great. I come up with a headline for it and say what it's about, and give away a free ebook most of the time. Those are really great ways of getting people to opt into your email list. Free ebooks, reports, and webinars. Those are our three biggest, most successful. What we call lead magnets, that if you guys want to really build your list, do one of the three. Give away a great ebook, great report, or have a webinar that you can drive those people to and give away some great content live on the webinar.
Okay, so when you said webinars, I was actually thinking, how do you give away a webinar? You're saying a webinar is a great way to get people to your list, but the other things, the ebook and the other stuff, that stuff you put in an opt-in box, right?
Right. Well, the webinar is also in an opt-in. Remember, because in order for them to attend your webinar, they have to opt in and say, yeah, I want to attend. Give me your email address and your name. So it's the same thing. I'm just using different offers to see which one might do the best for you.
Okay, cool. Do you think you should be changing out your offers? I mean, in a way, when you're driving people to an opt-in box to grow your list, you're always technically driving fresh people. So I probably just answered my question. It's not imperative to change out your offer frequently because it's always new people going there. Is that right?
Well, not necessarily. Sometimes and sometimes not. You're right. When you're going more broad and you got a really huge target to go after, a huge demographic to go after, yeah, most of the people won't run into your ads more than once, and you got a big, big pool that you can continue to pump the same offer out there for a while. One of the things on Facebook that's so great about Facebook is the ability to target so pinpoint accurately, but that also works against you in the fact that it produces smaller groups of targets, because now we know exactly who we're going after. So if I say I'm looking for, physicians who do cardiology, blah, 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 now my number that Facebook can return to me is going to be much smaller. It might be down to 5,000 people. So if I keep running this ad to 5,000 people over a couple of weeks, they're all going to see that ad at least once, twice, three times. And at that point, they are going to get what we call advertising or banner desensitization. It means they're going to get blind, and we call it ad blindness as well. They see it too many times, they just ignore it after a while. So you do have to change your creatives. Facebook is a big piece of that. We got to change our creatives a lot, meaning our banner ads, our copy, that kind of thing. Even if we don't change our offer, we may have to just change the banner ads so that we don't blind them and they say, I already saw that. So definitely those are two things you want to take into consideration.
So what did you call that, ad desensitization?
Yeah, yep, advertising desensitization, yeah.
Oh, man,
people get desensitized to it. Yeah, it's a fact. If you see the same thing over and over, you get blinded to it. That's why my wife was just telling me, was just saying that about certain things in her house, and she was like, you don't see that crack right there? And I'm like, no, I didn't even see that. She's like, get up there and fix that. So get blind to it after a while.
Yeah, well, I guess if you're a man, you're probably blind to it for another reason, because you don't want to fix it.
Right?
No, I think you're right. Yeah, and that's true, and I guess in a way it's like when you see anything around your house or your office or anywhere, if you see it long enough, it's like you don't even see it anymore, and somebody coming into your house, or what I actually found, just to prove that point, not to belabor it, but I've taken pictures. I remember when Stephanie and I were going to redo our kitchen, we took some pictures, and when I looked at some pictures, I started seeing things that are still there, but I don't see them with my eyes, but when I looked at the picture, I was like, oh my gosh, that looks horrible. You start seeing things when you're looking at things through a kind of a different lens, I guess,
Absolutely. That's a real good one, too. I do the same thing. I look at stuff in the pictures, and I'm like, wow, wait a minute. Oh, man, that looks messed up. I need to fix that, but you won't see it if you're just standing in your living room looking at what you normally look at.
Yeah. So we got about, another 5 or 6 minutes here, Gary. I want to see if we can fit in a quick discussion about SEO. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, even 3 years ago, SEO was such a hot topic. There were SEO experts on every corner. You couldn't even turn around without five people saying, I can SEO this and SEO that for you. First of all, I'm seeing a lot less of those people, so I don't know if, you know, some of the folks who weren't good at it are just falling away. But I'm also seeing and reading a little bit about SEO just being a little harder to do. It's not maybe the panacea it was. Am I misreading that, or what's going on with SEO?
No, you're absolutely right. When Google had the last two shakedowns, their big algorithmic changes, those was Penguin and Panda. I mean, it shook the industry like crazy. And all of those individuals, fly-by-night SEO guys who were just throwing stuff up and doing a bunch of spammy stuff, and it was, able to get a little bit of rankings back in the day, all that stuff got shot down overnight. And I would say a good portion, maybe 40, 30, 50% of the industry disappeared. All those guys who were, you know, also saying, hey, yeah, we do SEO, they disappeared because SEO now has become a much more sophisticated game. We knew that way back then, so we had already been doing a lot more in our strategies to safeguard our sites and our client sites. But that's what you see happening nowadays. Everyone's disappearing because it has gotten ridiculously difficult to stay up and stay up on what's happening on that side of things. And now it requires a lot more effort for you to do it safely and to do it sustainably. So it's not dead. You're going to hear a lot of people say SEO's dead. Again, that's the same thing. It's just the people who want the easy route. Those are the people who just want to jump in, get something for two nickels, and, you know, keep running. But the guys who understand that, it is going to be more work. It is going to be more difficult. Again, for us who understand that, that's just a barrier to entry. We like that. We don't care. We will go and study and reverse engineer everything that we were doing and change all of our strategies because we know that those returns are going to be very hefty on the other side. Once you master those things. So definitely I tell people don't shy away from SEO. SEO is the best long-term ROI. When we talk about ROI, I say, you know, people ask me that all the time. They say, which one, you know, what should I do, pay-per-click or SEO? And I always say, well, if you have enough, you should do both, absolutely. But if you don't, then you should do pay-per-click first because that's going to bring you enough money to reinvest into a longer-term strategy, which is also going to allow you to add SEO to that. SEO gives you the biggest return on investment or the longest return on investment. And I've measured this many, many times with many of our clients. And dollar for dollar, you get the biggest ROI from SEO. It comes over time. It happens slowly, not as fast as pay-per-click. So a lot of people don't want to, you know, they get antsy and they're just looking at the short term. But you got to have both strategies in place. You should have your long term moneymakers and your short-term moneymakers, just like investment strategies, same thing.
So the last thing I want to ask you about is video. You know, I'm obviously a huge proponent of video. What are some of the strategies that people can use to do video? I know you need to SEO the title and probably the description. What other kind of secrets can you share with us?
Oh, yeah. I love YouTube. I mean, like I said, YouTube's the second largest search engine on the planet. There is so much traffic in YouTube that is being underutilized. I also tell people this a lot. You know, if you're scared of Google or you don't have enough to invest or to go heavy with SEO, then you should consider YouTube if you have a product or service that's advantageous that'll work over there because there is just a lot of traffic, and a lot of people are ignoring YouTube as well because they just don't understand how to use it to market. But, yes, when it comes to YouTube marketing, the first thing that we're trying to do, like we always are, is making our videos rank at the top of the list for those heavily trafficked keywords that have commercial intent, meaning people are willing to buy. They're using words that we know that they're in the buying phase and not the research phase. That's what you want to do. So absolutely infuse your videos with your keywords and the titles and the descriptions. Also your tags. That's one of the very important pieces of the puzzle. Your tags in your video should also contain your keywords. Now, an easy way to go out and understand which keywords or what keywords you should be using in your tags is just look at the people who rank at the top of the list for the keywords you're trying to rank for right now. Study the way that they put the keywords in their titles, how they sprinkle them in the descriptions and their tags and things of that nature, and try to replicate as closely as possible without completely copying so you have something to trump what it is they're doing. So that is some tips that I'll give people in terms of SEOing your YouTube videos. Another big component, just like I was talking about in the Apple App Store. You got to get downloads also. You just can't do keyword stuff and get it to rank. They have to see some real activity. YouTube's the same way. You got to have real people watching your videos. You got to get a bunch of views, and you have to get those people not just to view the video, not just meaning if I got a one-minute video, they come on there and view it for 10 seconds. They need to view the whole video or the majority of the video. So that's the reason why it's also advantageous to make shorter videos on YouTube, because the more people watch, the more brownie points you get in terms of ranking power. So if you have a really long video and it's enticing people to cut it off before they get to the end, then you're going to set yourself back a little bit in terms of ranking strategy and power.
So one last thing. You mentioned going in and seeing what other top rankers are using. I'm not sure I stayed with you. So if you're posting videos about how to be a great chef, are you saying you look on you search for other people doing chef or cooking style videos and see what keywords they're using?
Right, see what keywords they're using. But what I'm referring to is you have to know what keyword you want your video to rank for. That's the number one mistake most people do. They just blindly pick keywords out the air. But what you should do is go to Google and use Google's Keyword Planner, and you can. That tool is free. Unbelievably, it has so much information that you can get for free. All you need to do is get a Google AdWords account, which is free, and you go inside, get to their Keyword Planner tool, type in the keyword like you think people are going to search for, because that's usually the ones people use to optimize for, but that's really not the one they should be. Type in whatever you think. So if you're a plumber, you're going to type in plumbers, plumbing, best plumbers, the greatest plumbers, or whatever, and then let Google tell you which keywords are actually people are typing in on a monthly basis that are they're typing in the most, and then take those and optimize your video for that. Now, what you're going to do when I said look at your competitors, take that keyword that Google gave you that you said, wow, look at all these people. This search term gets 10,000, searches a month for the best plumbers, but, plumbers in New Jersey only gets 20 searches. So I want to try to go for the best plumbers. And now go over to YouTube, punch in, and type on YouTube, the best plumbers. Look who appears at the top of the list for those keywords. Look at the number 1, 2, and 3 video for those, and then study them. Look at their titles, descriptions, tags, how many views they have, what they're doing, all that kind of stuff, engagement. That's going to really tell you or give you clues as to what you can do to get yours to outrank theirs.
That's awesome. Okay, Gary, I've asked you to come back to our next Dream Business Academy is May 7th, 8th, and 9th in San Diego. I'm giving you another hour to get on my stage and share with everybody there some good stuff. I want people to know that if you liked what you've just heard, this is only kind of the tip of the iceberg. And, I asked Gary to come in and really pull back the curtain even more on not only what he's doing to market and grow my business and help, get my name out there, but I've asked him to share some really cool stuff. Are you going to be talking more about Facebook, or what's going to be the big message you're going to share in San Diego?
Yeah, Facebook is really heating up now, and so many people are starting to, again, wake up to it and understand the power of it. So I'm going to definitely be covering a bunch on that. I'm going to be talking a bit about remarketing and retargeting and some of the crazy stuff that we're doing on your campaigns. I'm going to share and unleash the beast on that one as well. And probably by that time in the spring, there'll be a ton more of new advances that are happening that I'll also be adding to those presentations. So it'll be a lot of good stuff that I'm going to be talking about.
Awesome. Hey, how can people, in the meantime, learn more about you? What's a good website, and how can they find you?
Just come on over to www.blazinmultimedia.com. That's B-L-A-Z-I-N, multimedia.com. And you can get me there anytime, any one of the forms or email addresses will get to me in some form or fashion. So anybody can reach me there.
Okay, awesome. Hey, Gary, thank you so much, man. I can't wait to see you in San Diego again. Thanks for being my special guest today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jim. Had a ball.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend, Mr. Gary George. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. My name is Jim Palmer, your dream business coach. As always, I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Join us next week for more marketing brilliance. And, well, that sounds pretty funny, on Stick Like Glue Radio. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.